Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp 2. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck, and I am definitely having another beautiful day in my consciousness. And I hope that's true for you too, our wonderful listeners that we're grateful for. And I'm here, as always, with my buddies. Hi, guys.
Hey, how are you today, everybody? This is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton, and it is definitely another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And greetings, everyone. This is Reverend Dr. Bill Holton. I'm glad to be here as well. And it is always another beautiful, beautiful day in my consciousness as well. And as you guys know, Cher and I are the co-founders of a hybrid unity ministry, an online events-driven ministry, and our name is the Unity Center for Universal, Y-O-U, because it's about you, youuniversalprosperity.com.
And as you also know, and if you're new and don't know, this will be a good chance to get this information. You can have a shortcut to us going to ucfyp.com. And there's tons of information waiting for you there.
Lots of information. Whereas on my website, paulhasselbeck.com, there is primarily my calendar and my weekly blog, The Absolute Word. And my calendar tells you what I'm doing, quote unquote, professionally in the coming months. And so I am ready to get romping with this. I've been having fun with you guys with these quotes from Eric Butterworth. And as usual, it doesn't take much to get us going, does it?
Right. No, right? It sure doesn't.
And so before we go into a new quote, I was just editing the previous podcast and reminded the wonderful conversation we had about faith and the feeling nature of it. So if you haven't heard that, listener, go back to this, I guess it's 2021-23. And you can listen to that part of the podcast. It's really good. And we were talking about the feeling nature of it, the feeling nature side of faith. And just this week, I was attending the convention where Cher did a presentation for the entire Unity movement. And she talked about, I'll just say it basically, the importance of feeling and recognizing feeling and what are the ways in which we can use it practically. Now, in the presentation, it was mostly about church. And I realize, and Cher and Bill realize, it's mostly about life. So Cher, you want to encapsulate that?
Sure, I would be glad to. And it's really based on a concept that Bill and I put together. For churches, we called it the guest to member journey map. So it's a process that people move through as they experience you. And it was as they experience your spiritual community in the way we presented it. But the concept works for anything you're doing, even on a personal nature. So what you look at are the touch points when you're coming in contact with another person, or, you know, this could work for yourself too, is ask the two questions, and don't be fooled by how simple the questions are. The first one is, how do I want the other person or people to feel emotionally? What emotion do I want them to feel as a result of this interaction? And then what can I do to help make that happen?
Yeah. What can you do in a church? What can a church service do, or whatever the touch point is, do to influence the participants in having that feeling or emotional response? And it's true, like you said, Cher, in our personal lives. It's true for us. If I'm setting an intention to do something, it's better if I get more specific and go, what outcome do I want here? What do I want to feel? And what can I consciously do to make that happen? Or if tonight I'm taking a friend out for a birthday dinner, and before I go, I'll be not only setting intention, but what is it I want that birthday guy to feel?
Yes.
And so then what do I have to do? Who do I want to be to facilitate that happening, right?
That's great. Like, how do I show up for this?
How do I show up for this? And we know when we're having this intention, this feeling we know we want to generate, and we're wanting to facilitate that and influence the other person to have that feeling, then we get to have it too, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's the law of mind action, folks, all over again. And it connects to our prayer practice. When you are doing a prayer, when any of us are doing a prayer, we are the first beneficiaries of that prayer. So that's one motivator I have for doing a really good and impactful prayer, because I know it impacts me and influences the other.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And when you think about it, it's the feelings really that empower the memories, because it's the memories that endure, and how you felt about it, not only while you were experiencing it to begin with, the initial feelings associated with the event, but the memories also have feelings built into it.
Yeah.
And it's an empowering combination, if you will. And as Sarah and I like to let people know, to remind people, the margin is in the memories. And the margin we're talking about is a regular human-centric growth versus spiritual growth. And that's where the margin is in the spiritual growth.
Right. And science has shown us, even with simple gift giving, when you give a person a gift of an experience, they'll tend to remember it later rather than a physical gift.
Absolutely.
And right. So it's all very important. It's all tied to our fundamental understanding of metaphysics. And thoughts and feelings create an inner experience first. And when we're talking about faith, we are using thought and feeling to imagine and visualize. So power of imagination is involved. What it is, we are seeing with our inner eye an outcome that we cannot yet see in the realm around us.
The other thing I like about this process is it helps keep you in the present moment aware and focused. So for example, just a quick example, if a friend of yours or a customer of yours or something, somebody is walking towards you and they're angry and upset, and you can tell, you know, they're mad about something and they're going to complain at you. They're going to do something to hit you about it. Your first thought is probably defensive.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to fight back.
I'm going to gird my loins.
There you go. I know we all say that, right?
Could go to the Bible again.
But here's the key. If you instead take that deep breath, because breathing becomes so important, but during that breath, say, okay, how do I want them to feel at the end of our conversation we're about to have?
Yep.
And what can I do to help ensure that happens? It will dramatically, trust me, affect how you respond, no matter how angry they are. If you keep that in mind, at the end, I want them to feel satisfied. I want them to feel they were heard. I want them to feel like we've reached a solution. That's going to impact how I choose to respond.
Yes. Yep. And I want to emphasize that just a simple deep breath is helpful if you're conscious enough to do the calm and connect breathing.
Yes.
Breathing in for a 4 count, holding it for a 7 count, and breathing it out through pursed lips for an 8 count, and doing it at least 3 times, you will amp up the automatic response your nervous system must generate through that breathing process. Yep. So it's built in, hardwired, however you want to talk. So these are ways for us to use our thinking nature, our feeling nature, and what we know about our physiology so we can show up better in the world for others and ourselves.
Yep.
Excellent. Yep. Yes.
Wow. So Cher, you said you had some quotes from spiritual economics. It's really funny. When we talk about these books, we go, wow, there's really good stuff in here.
It's been a while since we taught around this course because we've been creating our own material around prosperity for a while now. But this was one of our first prosperity books we ever read in Unity. And it's awesome.
It's still relevant.
It's still really good. And the title turns people off. Spiritual economics, they get nervous about it, but we highly recommend this book for people. It's right. Really good. So that was the one that when we were looking for some additional quotes kind of jumped off the shelf at me. So I just trying to decide which one to start with and where to go is difficult, but
just pick one.
Yeah. There's one thing that I thought, this is something people may not have heard from him. Good. And I thought it was really interesting and maybe some food for thought. And it's on page 74 in our version of Spiritual Economics. It's in the chapter called If You Can Believe. So it kind of comes off.
Now we're back to the faith method, right?
Kind of built on that. And he's talking about the word develop, that we want to develop. You know, we always say we want to develop our ability in this. And he says the word develop is interesting in that it does not mean adding to or putting on something. It's related to the word envelop, which means to enclose. So develop means to unfold. Developing a prosperity consciousness is not achieved by programming the mind with an array of pat statements of truth. You are rich, not because you decree it over and over, but by reason of your spiritual inheritance. You are now as spiritual as you can ever be. You may increase your awareness of your true nature, which will in turn increase your flow of substance.
Yes, that's a really great quote. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we've been talking about is helping people to see how we read these quotes. And so there are words that I would call trigger words. Mm-hmm. And the words in there that I'm going, ugh, I go, ugh. You know, it's almost like a mini crash and burn. He said, our divine inheritance.
Yes.
And this automatic can bring up the picture of a male anthropomorphic being. That's our father, and we're his children, and we inherited his qualities, right? But what we got to know is that our divinity is inherent.
Right.
Inherited. It's inherent. It's innate. And juxtapose this to the quote we were sharing from him last week from his Practical Metaphysics, which is spirit is present in its entirety at every point in space at the same time. And that reinforces the idea that we are innately divine, or the divine is innately at every point of us.
Yes, and that's so true, Paul. We all of us folks need to understand this. We have an omnipresent divinity. It's there. It is innate within us. It always has been innate within us, a spiritual beingness.
Yes.
Experiencing a physical form of beingness. And even for those who believe in reincarnation, we have this beingness. We have this innate divinity after we leave the, in this case, earth plane. Life between lives, it's there. Coming back into the earth plane is there when we reincarnate. It is ours. Sharon and I call it, it's part of our soul signature.
Yes. And if it's not there anywhere, then it's no longer omnipresence.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. So I think I heard it from Michael Beckwith. There's no absence in presence.
Oh, nice. That's true. A nice quote.
We'd agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if the next sentence is this, and this demonstrates what we talk about when we read a lot of these texts, is they mix their verbiage. Yeah. They'll say something that creates this wrong image and then they fix it. Because he says, prosperity comes from consciousness, which unfolds from within.
Yes.
So
it unfolds from within. And what's within wasn't inherited. It's inherent. It is our divine self, our divine nature. I don't even like those so much as I just like to say, it's divinity.
Mm-hmm. And I'd even add, the awareness of our consciousness unfolds from within.
Yes.
Consciousness is more than physicality.
Yes.
We have this consciousness when we have our non-physical form as well.
And it is in total.
It is in total. It's everywhere present, as Paul mentioned before. And this omnipresence, this innate omnipresence is there. That's what folks need to remember. That's how, can I say, connected we are with our lives, no matter what form our lives take, no matter what dimension. Quantum physicists tell us that there are at least 26 dimensions. The three of us are thinking, well, you know, we're talking about consciousness. So there are many, many dimensions. We don't know how many dimensions of awareness there are.
We don't. We don't. And I have trouble just dealing with the three dimensions.
as do we. Right.
Just get that one right, right?
Yeah. Right. And so just for simplicity, and I know this doesn't agree with Fillmore so much, I think we can authentically talk about four dimensions. And that is the three dimensions of physicality and the fourth dimension being consciousness, mm-hmm. which for me is awareness plus the ability to take action.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely.
Wow, that was a great quote.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And so taking it just a little step further, you know, we talked about desire and emotion and we like to talk about how important that is. And he says, let's see, a true desire is not to have, but to be.
Wow. Wow.
That one makes you stop and think, like, what
does that right. mean? And of course, I immediately changed it. So let's see how this works.
Of course.
Remind people of what he said.
He said, a true desire is not to have, but to be.
And I would add one word. But to be authentically divine.
Yeah, because he goes on to say, we are whole creatures in potential, and the true purpose of desire is to unfold that wholeness to become what we can be. So that the mm-hmm. way you changed it is perfect in alignment. And
however, it wasn't really needed with the rest of the sentences.
Right, but yeah. You said it all in that sentence.
Yes.
So that captured it. And I think that's yeah, what.
So since our divinity is infinite in potential, and when I'm saying infinite in potential, I'm saying infinite in what we can express from it, then what we're really trying to do is express it, express our divinity as authentically as we can. And at what we might call the highest level. Some people don't like high and low and good and bad, but I haven't found a better word. But to me, to be a more complete and whole expression of the infinite. And my expression will always be a limited version of the infinite.
Right.
And we love that. And it's so true. And I hope people that are listening really take that to heart, Paul, what you just said, because it truly, we do limit potential in order to bring it from the unmanifest to the manifest.
Absolutely. It's the law of expression.
Exactly.
The law of expression says it all moves from the absolute to the concrete, from the unformed to the formed. And we are going to move from the content of the physical realm to the absolute word, which is the way we always wrap up these programs. And so the absolute word is based on Sunday messages appearing in Daily Word, a copyrighted Unity publication, and has been used with permission. And this comes from Sunday, June 20th, 2021, which friends is Father's Day. And this being the Daily Word is about those fathers who truly show up in a loving and supporting way. And as I read this, I also want to acknowledge any of our listeners who maybe had a father that was absentee or maybe wasn't all he could have been. And knowing that when you hear stuff like this on Father's Day, you might be feeling left out. And our hearts go out to you for that.
Yes.
Okay, so June 20th, 2021 is Father's Love. And the affirmation is, I give thanks for my father and all expressions of fatherly love. I treasure my childhood memories of feeling safe when my father or my father figure in my life was nearby. I remember my father's encouragement when I was learning to ride a bike, as we explored the wonders of nature together, and as he taught me to use money wisely. Even when I made youthful mistakes, my father's sometimes stern but always wise discernment helped me find the way back to my right path. I give thanks for my father unfolding his sacred humanity from his divinity. I think and feel the same about others who bless me with fatherly love. Today, I pray for fathers, my father, and all fathers. I affirm for them growing wisdom, understanding, and willingness to nurture others with a father's encouraging love. I give thanks for my father and all expressions of fatherly love. And of course, we want to remember all those fathers that have moved from this dimension into other dimensions, where I like to say, who have moved on to parts unknown. And we hope they are finding new and better ways to express their divinity. And thank you, friends, for listening. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck, delighted to be with you and delighted to be with my friends. Goodbye, friends.
Goodbye. This is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton saying we have enjoyed being with you. We look forward to the next time.
And we certainly have enjoyed being with you. This is Reverend Dr. Bill Holton saying, Auf Wiedersehen.